welcome to this podcast message from Kingdom Faith.
Praise God. What a good time of the presence of the Lord. Amen. Anybody feeling blessed? Beyond measure? Wonderful. Wow. I'm feeling refreshed. I was preparing this afternoon and I felt God change the emphasis of what I needed to cover tonight. So I've learned to always go with God. And because at the end of the day, when you put your head on the pillow, you need to know what God said. You did what God said and not what you wanted. And I just want to encourage some people tonight in their faith. Every one of us are active in our faith because faith is important, right? I want to just speak, you know, we're talking a lot about reformation. And I really believe that we're in a time of reformation in this nation. And reformation isn't often about anything new. Reformation is often about the re-implementation of things forgotten and things lost. And, you know, as we're talking about redemption and we're talking about redeeming individuals and redeeming communities and even having redemption in society, we need to understand that I believe that we also need to believe God for a redemption of the Christian life in the lives of a lot of Christians in the West today, because there's a variety of Christianity that isn't dynamic, it's not effective, and it's not built on certain pillars like discipleship. And God's looking for a redemptive army that will stand up and give voice to what he's wanting to do in this nation. You know, in the 1800s, there was a man called William Booth that formed an army called a Salvation Army. And they were people marked with just the salvation heart of God. But I really believe that we're in a time where we need to stand up and find our voice, not just to individuals, but to society itself. I believe it was Kenyon that said, you know, the plan of Satan in the Garden of Eden hasn't changed. His plan was to stop the redemptive line, but also to remove the knowledge of God from the face of the earth. And we're living in a time where the activity of that agenda is rife. The enemy of our soul still has that intention that he had in the very Garden of Eden, to remove the knowledge of God from the face of the earth. Because when the knowledge of God is removed from a society, society is destined to implode and disintegrate when man does what's right in his own eyes. It's a terrible thing. And, you know, recently I've become so conscious that this redemption army that God's raising up has a voice, and it's not scared to stand for the knowledge of God in society itself. As the eroding waves of the intention of the devil come to erode society from everything good that's based upon God's word and truth within it, we've got to be the army that say, no, we stand for the knowledge of God. We stand unashamedly for the knowledge of God. And the sad thing is, even within certain aspects of Christianity, we need to stand and say, you can call me old-fashioned all you like. You can call me old-fashioned until the cows come home. But the knowledge of God is what we build our life upon. The knowledge of God is what remains when other theories go. And recently I've been very, very disturbed in my heart as I've just been almost looking at society and seeing again just the eroding waves, just slowly and surely trying to take away. But the modern thinkers that are trying to remove the knowledge of God in the earth today don't realize they're just glove puppets to an ancient hand that's always had that agenda. But there's always been the rising of a reformer, the reforming spirit that said no. And society in history has been turned back many times when people decided, I wasn't going to share this, it's just kind of flowing right now, that when certain people caught the heart of God, not just for the redemption of man, but for redemption of society that was losing its way, when those people found their voice, there's many times marked in history where even in the dark ages, it seemed like the knowledge of God was becoming extinct on the earth. But suddenly God dropped just a heartbeat of reformation in a heartbeat of a man. And a man stood up, found voice and said, no, I'm sorry, you can stone me if you like. But the knowledge of God is the very moral fiber of everything good in society. In their foolishness, they think they're wise. When you look at the news and it seems that this non-abating, this ocean that says, remove God from this, remove God from that, remove God from, you know, you want to remove God from the courts of education, learn from America. You remove God, you remove prayer from school, you're going to put body scanners in to stop weapons coming in. Because where the knowledge of God is removed, things implode, dissolve and go into chaos. We need to realize that we're not just a redemption army winning the soul of man, but God wants us in our society to be vocal concerning the non-removal of things that society have actually found their foundation on. Does that make sense? Do you know one of the last things that some people did on the Titanic as it was beginning to sink? I was in Belfast recently and I visited the Titanic Museum. And this one statement stayed with me, or this one story. It almost shocked me because it reminded me of some of the church today or some of society today. Apparently, one of the last things that some did on the Titanic was make snowballs and have a snowball fight. Unknowingly making snowballs out of the very thing that had just caused safety to be no more. Foolishly, they played snowballs on the deck of the Titanic, actually using material from the thing that was sinking them. When I look around at society today with its modern thinkers that think they know better than God, I see that they don't realize they're playing with the very thing that has the potential to destroy them. But we need to be not like another group on the Titanic who were actually sleeping when it was sinking. But rather people that say, we can see what's going on. It's been an agenda since the garden. The devil's number one plan, Kenyon said it, the removal of the knowledge of God from the face of the earth. We can't be the quiet Christian in the corner anymore. We need to find our voice and not be scared to speak when we see things being changed within the courts of education. Ethan, you know, Booth's greatest effect, in my opinion, was in the courts of parliament. He reformed not just the individual's life, but society. Come on, let's believe again for that just reforming spirit that says, no, you're not removing God from things. But in Reformation, we need to understand that concerning the church, there's a lot of room for things that have been forgotten to be relearned, things that haven't been taught correctly to be taught correctly. We need to make sure that the church in Great Britain understands the gospel and stops preaching something that has no power attached to it. We need to make sure that our gospel is biblical. That our gospel displays the righteousness of God. That it includes faith towards God. But one thing I've been realizing, just as we've been pastoring in Portsmouth and around the areas, is that there's some things that the attractional modern church have forgotten or aren't teaching. And we need to dare to give voice to those things. Because in our redemption, I've realized that in some of what we're doing is we're actually redeeming something called the Christian life. Because there's so many Christians out there in churches and they don't know the basic habits of Christian life. And they wonder why they're not succeeding, why they're not experiencing what the Bible promises them, why they're not walking in what they heard people walked in former days. It's because there's certain habits to the Christian life that are desperately in need of redemption. They need to be redeemed back into the churches in Great Britain. We need a reforming voice that says again, no, let's include the ways and the knowledge of God in the very fiber of what we're doing at church. Let's not replace things that change people's lives with just gimmicks and lights. Now, some of these things I'm thinking of in my own heart is just teaching people, again, the basic habits of prayer. We were in a meeting recently, and Gina, my wife, was talking about hearing God. She made a statement like, I was praying, and God said this to me. Now, this was a Bible school setting. And one of the students in this Bible school came to my wife afterwards and said, what do you mean, hear God? What do you mean when you say, hear God? And Gina found herself explaining to somebody halfway through their first year of Bible school what it was to hear God. We need to make sure we're not taking for granted that the people we're responsible today for, we need to make sure that they understand the things that are fiber to us. We need to be like the Jews are so good at, passing down and passing over to the next generation the things that are regarding the knowledge of God that have done us well, amen? I'm thinking of just basic things like prayer, declaration. The moment that you move from prayer to declaration, that moment when it says he hears your prayers. And when you declare a thing, it's established and he shines his favor upon it. We need to make sure that we're not trying to overteach people things that are actually not new and things often they don't need to know. My wife was sharing this weekend at the conference and she said, you know, she kept going to the dentist and my wife never had a cavity. For years, she never had a cavity. And one day she said to the dentist, you know, he said, have you got any cavity? No cavity. He said, what do you do? She said, I brush my teeth and I floss. What should I have been doing? And the dentist said, nothing. To keep healthy teeth, you just brush your teeth and floss. And Gina said, well, what are all the people with the unhealthy teeth doing? Not brushing their teeth. And it's so simple, it's ridiculous, right? A lot of the things in our Christian walk are really simple. We've just got to make them not a habit that's not effective, but lifestyle. And one of my bends at the moment with the congregations we're leading is to get some of the Christian lifestyle back into the Christians. To bring redemption of the things that they shouldn't have forgotten or maybe we've been guilty of not teaching back into their world. Hearing God, being led by the Spirit. But one that was really on my heart for you tonight as ministers was just the encouragement of walking by faith. Walking by faith is what we do. Walking by faith is what we do. But what we do, I found recently, a lot of people don't. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7, you know, it's a short verse. For we walk by faith and not by sight. For we walk by faith and not by sight. The call of Christianity is to walk by faith, to develop an individual trust walk with God. Some want to walk only by reason these days, but they will never see the adventures that God had for them. Because if you want to see the adventures that God's got for you, you've got to be ready to walk by faith. If you want to settle for a reason-based Christianity where everything makes sense before you start, where you've concluded the end and there's no risk, you're going to have a boring Christianity. Because everything that God does with us involves faith. We've got to stay committed to reminding ourselves we walk by faith. And teaching others to walk by faith so that they can apprehend the adventures that God's got for them. Amen. I believe to every person, not just to ministers, to every person, there are appointed moments of stepping out of the boat. There's appointed, God-appointed moments in the life of every person that walks with Jesus for stepping out of the boat, for stepping out on a word or a promise given by God. Why does God do this? Because he knows that it's for stepping out of the boat and the process of walking by faith, trusting his promise without evidence, that actually transforms us into everything He knows we can be. So if we're not teaching to walk people to walk by faith, to step out of the boat, to take risk when promise comes in, we're actually robbing them of their Christian development. Because walking by faith is a crucial part of the development of the healthy believer. Whenever there's a God-given promise, excuse me, or dream, there is normally always a bit in the middle. I just want to teach on that bit a little bit tonight. Because I sense some of you are in that bit. And I want to preach a little bit tonight, and this was the word God really placed on my heart. I want to preach about the bit in the middle a little bit. And then I want to just pray strength into your life if you're right now in the bit in the middle. Let me just say this again. Whenever there is a God-given promise or dream, there is normally always a bit in between, a corridor between when the promise came and the manifestation is experienced. I've named this gap the corridor of faith. The corridor of faith is something that those who walk by faith will often find themselves in. Your behavior in the corridor of faith can determine often the length of time you spend in it and the success that you get out of it. I want to talk about changing your perspective about the corridor of faith. Because often when I hear people in the corridor of faith, by that I mean they've had the promise of God given them, but they've not seen the manifestation of it. They've been given the God dream, but they're not living in it. That bit in between, whenever I often hear Christians speak about it, very rarely do they celebrate. It's like they've been cursed. It's like God's being cruel to them. It's like God's being sometimes abusive. When actually, that's a wrong perspective. God is actually being really good to you. But you've got to change how you see this moment in between. It's a part of your Christian walk to be in a corridor of faith. Most times you haven't done anything wrong. You've actually done everything right. It's not that God can't get us from A to B quickly because he's God and he can do anything. He can make fire not burn people when they're in it. He can make lions not bite people. He can make donkeys talk and be able to reason to have a discussion with the prophet. God, you see, can do anything. And if he wanted to get you from A to B like you're traveling in a TARDIS, he could and he would. The point is, he doesn't want to. Because you are all excited about the arrival at the destination, God is excited what he's going to do in you on the journey. I'm going to get some of you excited about the corridor you thought you had done something wrong to end up in. Because when God gives a promise, the arrival is a done deal. But we often miss out on the best bit, which is the journey. Our success is often about our behavior in it. One thing I've discovered in my life about God is that God is all about journeys. Blessed is the man that sets his heart on pilgrimage. He will go from strength to strength. Even when he passes through the place called Baca, he brings refreshing. He pilgrimages until he stands before his God in Zion. This thing called the Christian walk in itself is a pilgrimage. But often I've experienced when I'm believing God for something, there's a pilgrimage or a journey from the moment promise is given or dream comes into my world till the moment when I'm holding the baby of promise or I'm living in the thing that I dreamed. There's always, maybe it's just God and me, but I don't think it is. There's a bit in between where there's a journey. We love destinations. God loves journeys. It's on the journey that he does what he needs to in us to make us who we're going to be for the future he has for us. Every destination has a journey. If you have the promise of God for a situation of your life. Now, I'm not talking about you pulled out one of those boxes your mum had from the 70s that came with tweezers. Remember those? They were like fortune cookies in a lot of ways. Everybody had them. You used to get this box and there was little scrolls and you'd get your tweezers in the morning and say, what's the Lord saying to me today? And you'd open it, and if it wasn't what you wanted, you rolled it up, put it on and took another one. My mum had one. My nan had one. I'm talking about when the promise of God for your situation comes into your world and it's so real, it's still got the warmth of his breath on it. Have you ever had one of those promises? When you're in a situation and you seek God for his word and his promise, and he brings his word into your life and it's so fresh, it's still got the warmth. You know that that promise isn't just for everyone, it's for you and your situation. Yet you wake up the next morning and nothing's changed. Yet you know God's promised you. Listen, you are now in the corridor of faith. You are in the moment between promise given and promise manifest. But God is more excited about what he's going to do in you on the journey than you are about arriving at the destination. Whenever you go on holiday, there's a journey before you arrive. When you go into the travel agents and you flick through the pages and you see the beach with golden sand and you say, me and my family need to be on that beach with golden sand. For me, with five kids, three of them very young, there's a journey. And sometimes the journey isn't fun. Sometimes after 2 hours on the plane and the kids have done everything that they can do, they start climbing on the locals that surround us and stewardesses start getting annoyed because the light keeps flashing because one of my kids is... There's a journey. I'm always a man of greater patience when I get off of the plane. Because the journey created in me things I never had before. Often on the journey in between God's promise coming and God's promise manifest, God isn't idle, my friend. God won't leave you in a corridor for no reason. He does in us during that time the things he wants to do. I believe that often God is more excited about the flight than he is about the landing. And I just want to get encouragement in your heart tonight. That if you're in a moment between promise given and promise manifest, maybe you haven't done anything wrong and you're there because you've done everything right. It's not a place where you should be whining and complaining, rather declaring the promise that brought you into the corridor, declaring the faithfulness of God that's going to bring you out, making the corridor a place of rejoicing and faith and not depression, misery and whining. Because God, you see, works in all things for good, for those who love him and accord according to his purposes. My agenda tonight that I left the hotel room is to get you dancing in your corridor. To get you believing and rejoicing in your corridor. As you see, it's not a sentence appointed by the enemy, but it's something that God's creating greater gold in you than you imagined you could ever have. The corridor of faith is the moment between promise given and manifestation arrived. When you read the Bible, you see that some of the stories that you think happened quickly actually didn't. When you read the story of Abraham and his journey out of Haran and into the place of promise, that wasn't a two-week journey. It wasn't a two-week journey. It wasn't a two-month journey. It was a long journey. But I want to show you in a moment what that journey was all about. Joseph, as a boy, he got a dream of basically being a prime minister that saves a nation from famine. in his heart, he must have thought, great dream. Hey, this is going to happen next week. This is going to be amazing. I had a dream. But then he wakes up in a pit sold out by his brothers, pretending he's dead. He wakes up in a prison when he's been accused of adultery. He never did it. He was actually running. He's abused, misused. But you never once see Joseph complain. Why? He knew he was in possession of godly dream. He knew that the dream he'd got was not from man, but from God. He may not have understood the journey to the manifestation of the dream, but he knew in his heart that God had given him that dream. Little did he know that God was actually preparing him in the corridor to be the man that he was in the dream. Because a boy got the dream. A man came into the manifestation. David's moment from when he's a king, and the whole journey of David was one of strength to strength. The moments in David's life in his corridor must have seemed confusing. I mean, David was God's choir boy. He was God's little choir boy. Him and God had something special. God loved the way he sang, and they had this relationship that was awesome. But one day when David was taking care of his sheep, suddenly a lion came in and took one of the sheep. Wait a moment, I'm God's little choir boy. Why is this happening to me? I'm in covenant relationship with God. But the lion didn't seem to care, and he took the sheep, and like, because they're big cats, aren't they? Gave it the look. And walked out holding the sheep. And David put the harp down and said, not on my watch. And he went after it. And the Bible says he punched that thing. He held it by the scruff of the neck. He punched it. It kept moving. So he punched it again and it stopped moving. And then he brought, come on, let's be honest, the remains of the sheep. Lovely picture of an unharmed sheep around the neck of David. But I don't think so. Because lions don't carry sheep. But he brought it back and said to the other sheep, I'll always come and get you. Have hope. I'll always come and get you. You won't die alone. And then later on, a bear does the same thing. He's worshipping God. He's God's little choir boy. And a bear comes in, helps himself. He goes after him, punches it. It keeps moving. He punches it again. He brings the remains back. He must have been thinking, what is going on? Wait a moment. I'm a covenant boy. Then all of a sudden, one day, he turned a corner and there was Goliath. And he realized that what had happened in the corridor of faith was actually his apprenticeship for a giant that was always going to be in his future. God knew he was in the future, and God knew what was beyond the giant and the inheritance of the king and the steps of destiny. God knew there was a Goliath, and when David didn't know what was going on, he was actually pilgrimaging with God and going from strength to strength. God was using these moments to prepare him for a challenge that was in his life that he never perceived was there. Just maybe some of the things that are happening in your corridor of faith are not making you weaker, they're making you stronger. They're making you able to believe like you never believed. They're able to make you worship like you never worshipped. You'll find praise like you wouldn't find praise in any other place. And one day when you come out and turn the corner and look at Goliath, you won't run, you'll be ready for him. Maybe the corridor of faith is a place that God works for our good. His timing can be very different to us. Sometimes when young Christians come to me and they say, God's given me a promise. I just know it's going to be happening in about a week. I look at them, I say, God bless you. God bless you. Because I used to think that. And sometimes it doesn't. Abraham must have thought a week. Joseph must have thought a week. But you know what? It'll take as long as God needs to do in you what he wants to do of greater worth than your point of destination, because there's some things that God considers treasure that we don't. Is this okay tonight? That verse always used to get to me, though it tarries, surely it won't tarry. I can remember as a young Christian, like, so is it going to tarry or not? I remember reading that. It says, though it tarries, write the vision down. Though it tarries, surely it will not tarry. It's like a riddle. So is it going to tarry or is it not going to tarry? Oh, it may tarry according to my timing, but it will not tarry according to his. Because God's timing, unlike mine, is perfect. Mine is quick and adequate. His is in the fullness of time, when everything's ready and the moment is perfect. We need to trust in the watch of God, not in the watch of our own impatience. We need to, when things aren't happening as fast as what we want, actually say, God, my faith is active, but I trust you and your timing. And I trust what you're doing in me in this corridor, even though I don't yet understand. Listen, most times you don't understand what God's been doing until you leave the corridor. It's only when you look back, you understand what he just did. It was only when David beat Goliath, he looked back and went, now I understand the bear. Now I understand. Listen, faith is trusting God when you don't understand. Believing that all things work together for good. It's when you understand what God is doing in the corridor of faith that you learn to celebrate it. I want to give you three things the corridor of faith does for you. Number one, it makes you who you were meant to be. Some of the greatest godly developments in my life didn't happen on the beach of arrival. They happened in the corridor of journey. Some of the greatest things that God made in me as a believer happened in the corridor of faith. You know, me and my wife are coming out of a 4.5 year corridor at the moment. Just personal stuff for our family. But 4.5 years ago, we had to make some decisions about something in our world. And we chose to take the promise of God and forsaking all else, trust that. And in my heart, I honestly was thinking, Lord, let this be a six-monther, please. But 12 months in, I realized that though painful, what was happening in me was gold. After 2 years, it wasn't that God wasn't able to shorten the journey, but he wasn't done yet. At the beginning of this year, we sensed that God was bringing us out of the tunnel. But what I want to put to you, members of the jury, I'm a different man to the one who stepped in. Because the tunnel or the corridor will make you what God always knew you were capable of being. Abraham that arrived was not the same Abraham that stepped in. It was in the longitude of the corridor of faith that Abraham became the Abraham that God knew he could be to be the father of faith. Joseph stepped into the corridor of faith, a spotty boy who couldn't and didn't have the potential to save or rescue a nation from famine. But the Joseph that came out of the corridor of faith was a wise man, proven and able to administrate the godly counsel to a nation and save it. Maybe the corridor is not a sentence of pain or a place because you've done something wrong. Maybe the corridor you're in now, which is the moment between promise given and manifestation, is actually a place that is making you something that you won't recognize when you come out. The trials in your corridor can produce things of greater worth than what you imagine. The trials can produce an endurance of greater worth than what you've dreamed. Let me give you a couple of verses. Firstly, from 1 Peter 1, 6 to 7. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Can you see that in that moment of trial, there was actually gold of great purity being formed in the life of a person? James 1, verses 2 to 4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. No, surely the modern gospel is consider it pure joy when everything's gone your way. You have no worries and your future is secure without any need of walking by faith. Listen, the old gospel doesn't say that. It says, even in moments that don't make sense, whenever you face trials of many kinds, rejoice, consider it pure joy, because you know that the testing of your faith, listen, produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So apparently the man that stepped into the corridor of faith before this trial that felt like fire wasn't perfect and complete. He wasn't finished or lacking anything. We need to understand these things so that we can find a point of rejoicing, a point of faith, a point of agreement with God of what he's doing in times that don't make sense to us. If you've got the promise of God, if you've got the promise of God, you will arrive. God's not a liar. God is not a liar. His ear is not too deaf. His arm is not too short. If God has given you a promise regarding the moment that you're in, I just sense that this is registering with a lot of people tonight. If God has given you a promise for the moment or situation you are currently in, the devil is the only one trying to get you to drop the promise. If you will not drop the promise, that promise will come into fulfillment. But not only will the promise come into fulfillment, the person you are that catches the manifestation will be refined, purer, stronger, bigger, wiser than the person that started the journey. Number two, the corridor of faith delivers you from your senses ruling you. The Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. Sight is just one of five senses that incarcerate or imprison us from birth. We're taught and we're raised that what we see, what we hear, what we feel, what we touch, what we smell governs what is actually able to occur. Yet outside of our senses, there's a God that can do anything at any time, through anyone, at any moment, for any reason he chooses. We have a God that causes lead or iron to float, moon stop so battles can be won. God is not subject, you see, to the elements of this world. He controls them by the word of his power. Yet we're born into a sense-driven world. And a lot of the sense-driven teaching still drives us or controls us or incarcerates us in our Christianity. God wants to break the power of the imprisonment that your senses have had over you. And sometimes the place he chooses to do that is the corridor of faith. Because when you go into the corridor of faith, you're moved by what you see, feel, touch, hear, what you know your senses confirm is possible. But something in about the middle area of the corridor of faith delivers you and leaves you in a place where all your plan Bs are gone, there's no safety nets, and all you have left is the promise of God. That's when you realize you actually didn't need a safety net. because God is not a liar. In the corridor of faith is where I've lost being controlled by my senses. It was in the corridor of faith, the moment between promise given and promise manifest, God used the corridor to deliver me from the things that were controlling me or telling me what were possible. And he brought me into a realm where I could live beyond the senses that had driven me from birth and be operating in a new sense called faith based on what God said is going to happen. And those times are often not comfortable. Come on, let's be true. When God's delivering you from the rulership of your senses to bring you into the government of his word, that can be uncomfortable. But the person that wakes up in the government of his word is a person that's now unable to be controlled by their senses ever again. It's like a birthing. The children of Israel, they were disqualified by their senses. They all entered into the same corridor. The promise was given, the land is yours. I've given it to you. Go take possession of it. They all entered into the corridor which was promise given. They all entered into the corridor that was leading towards promise manifest. The problem is that the majority of them chose to remain ruled by their senses, while two of them exchanged sense or didn't accept sense and remained in faith. That meant that two came out of the corridor, the others were never seen again. I want to be a part of the two that come out. I want the corridor between promise given and promise manifest to be something that creates in me a liberty from things like senses that want to control me in regard of the promises of God. The bigger the promise, the less they make sense. Come on, is that true? The bigger the promise. Some of the promises God's bringing into my life at the moment, I've got to say, just wait a moment, Father, wait a moment. Let me just turn all my senses off. They're not even going to be able to handle this. Let me just flick off some of my senses. Now, my Father, what was that promise again? Ah, yes and amen. Yes and amen to that promise, Father. Listen, stop waiting for your senses to validate God's authority and God's ability to tell you what's true. Stop waiting for your senses to give you permission to believe. Stop waiting for your senses. One of my fears of the modern gospel is it's sense-driven. It's sensual. It's based upon how people feel and how people sense things are going to happen. I don't want to walk in a realm with God that's based on what's sensual or what a sense could be. I want to walk by faith outside of what's normal, outside of what's possible, outside of what naturally should happen. I want to walk in a realm of faith where I'm not incarcerated by the mere possible. But to get there, you got to walk through some corridors. The final thing about the corridor of faith is it teaches you faith or true trust in God. In the corridor of faith, his promises become your certainties, not just another option. This corridor that me and my family are just coming out of, and I know we are. I'm not fooling myself because I know what God's done in me, innit? I can remember 2 years into this corridor, I remember walking down saying, God, I thought it would be quicker. I hoped it would be quicker. And I'd watched at this point every safety net I came in, because I sneaked a couple of safety nets in. I'll be honest with you. This is confessional. When God asked me to step into that corridor with my family, I didn't think he saw. I sneaked in a couple of safety nets, had a couple of plan Bs, you know. About 2 years in, every safety net was gone and every plan B was non-existent. But one morning I heard myself praying and I heard something come out of my spirit man that wasn't cheap. I was praying, saying, thank you, Father. I know I'm going to arrive at what you promised. Then all of a sudden I heard it. My Father, your promises have become my only certainties. Whew. When that rose out of my spirit and found articulation, I knew that that was not made by man. but had come from the Father. God wants to bring us to a point not of insecurity, but security in an insecure world, where our confidence is built upon his promises. Our certainties are not found in the promises of men, but in the promises of our God. But the deliverance from certainty in man to certainty in God is a corridor you have to walk through on your own. And it involves situations that can seem hard until you're through. It can involve situations that seem confusing. But you're not alone in the corridor. He said, never will I. God doesn't stand at one end and say, I'll meet you at the other. He's in the corridor with you. Even though you walk through what feels like the valley of the shadow of death, he will never leave you. His rod and his staff are what comfort you and keep you moving through the corridor. You see the safety nets or backup plans you need, he wants to deliver you from. You discover in the corridor of faith a patience which empowers your faith like combining chemicals. The reason the corridor is longer than what you wanted is God is adding to the gold he's creating in you patience that causes chemical reaction with the faith he's grown within you. So that when you come out, you are fully furnished, strong in the inner man, able to receive promise and wait for promise. Because faith and patience are very good friends. Reality is that if you're believing God for something, you will go on a journey or go through a corridor to it. Depending on the size of what you're believing for, will determine on the reshaping that God will need to do in you, which may determine the length of a corridor you walk through. One of the best ways to get through the corridor is have correct behavior in it. And I just want to pray for some of you tonight that you start to rejoice in your corridor. Now, what I'm not saying is if there's been any infliction of the enemy on you, don't you dare rejoice in that. But if you're in a moment where you know you have the promise of God for you, your family, your church, you know you have the promise of God for your situation. Yet recently, your heart's begun to get a little bit tired. Maybe your heart's begun to get a little bit achy. You've heard yourself whining. I want to believe God to touch you and refresh you tonight. And cause a fresh dance in your corridor that comes from the assurance that if he led you in, he will lead you out, because God will never lead you on. God will not tease you with promise. God will not tease you or treat you like an experiment. He's your Father in heaven. Any time I've journeyed my children through a corridor of learning, it was never for their harm, but it was to make them the young men and the young women I needed them to be to function correctly in life. In the same way, the father will chasten the child he loves. Chasten is never abuse, it's child raising. And often, the way that God grows us is he allows us to journey from promise to manifestation. But what you begin to learn after a while is when you come out of the corridor, there's going to be another one. But once you've gone through your first one, you should be a little bit wiser than what you were before. If you keep going through corridors without changing your behavior, you are just like something going around in circles and you need help. What I've begun to discover is, okay, in that corridor, I learned to behave like this. If I'm going into one, which I am, because most of my corridors are actually not about me. They're about what God's given me to do. They're about God growing me for the future growth. They're about God using tunnels to grow me for the man he needs me to be in 2 years' time, in 10 years' time. Just as he grew David for the moment he needed to be in facing Goliath, right now God is trying to grow you so that you will be a giant slayer at the point of life when you need to be. Yes, you will arrive at the destination, but the gold that God loves is what he's done in you on the journey. So maybe stop trying to get out, stop trying to blame God, and begin to say, my Father. Do you know the best position I've found in the corridor of faith? Thy will be done. Father, I trust you for what I know, and I trust you for what I don't. I trust you for what I understand, and I trust you for what I don't yet understand. I trust you, Father. I know that when you promise, there's guaranteed arrival. I just sense that there's some people. Could we just stand in this place today? Has that been a good word? Just when I was praying today, God dropped that on my heart. And I really sensed he wanted just to say to some people who are weary, be unweary in Jesus' name. Amen. Some people that their behavior has been wrong in the corridor, to change it and turn their complaining into praise of faith. Some people that have been confused in the corridor, right now you know why you're in it. And right now your heart's going to begin to say, make the gold, Lord. Make the gold. Make the gold. I'm not talking about a moment that you've created for yourself or a moment that the enemy may be trying to. I'm talking about you know that God is doing something, but you don't know what he's doing. Do you know the best prayer you can pray? Make your gold, Lord. Make your gold. I will arrive, but I will arrive as gold. I just sense that there's someone here, there's a few people here tonight, and this word has just been just oil to your heart. It's helped you to understand you're a moment, the moment that you're in. I just want you to come and stand at the front here. Because God just wants to touch you tonight. God wants to get you dancing in your corridor. I just want you to come and stand. I'm just going to lay my hands on you tonight. And as I do, something's going to click that comes from the revelation that God's in this. He's making you what he needs you to be for your future. He will never harm you or hurt you because he's a father. But he will, through various trials, cause your faith to become pure gold. Just going to wait a couple of moments. We worship you, Father. We worship you, Father. We worship you, Father. We worship you, Father. Father, I pray that as I lay hands upon these people, something changes in the corridor of faith that they're in. A rejoicing begins. Father, I thank you for courage to keep on walking, knowing that the destination is certain.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.